This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's 5:07. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Sharmila and Lynn. So in today's job market, are fresh graduates in direct competition with retrenched employees? And is that making it harder for everyone? We explore.
So this isn't us saying it, to be clear. This comes from a pair of articles kind of positing that this might be the case. So let's start with the Malay Mail that reported that many recent graduates have been struggling to find full-time employment, even though official labour statistics do show a decrease in unemployment as the country shifts towards endemicity. And then, according to Utusan Malaysia, this is because fresh grads are competing with retrenched workers who lost their jobs during the pandemic. And that overall is creating an issue because in the first place, the job opportunities are fairly limited. This is the central question that I think we're trying to examine here, while also acknowledging that the reason why fresh grads in particular might not be getting hired with the ease that everyone would like might have to do with other issues as well.
Yes. So I find this quite interesting because I think at least on the surface of it, you might assume that fresh grads and retrenched workers are not necessarily competing for the same positions. Mm-hmm. And that perhaps because of things like expertise and skills and so on, that in fact they would be serving fairly different segments and at different levels of the of their career. However, I think a lot of this also has to do with our employment market and how a lot of it has shifted in the last 2 years as well. But to that point that you were making about reasons why fresh grads may not necessarily be in full-term employment or even in full-term employment that they're happy with, and I think that has to do with a number of things, right? So if you look at that article in Utusan Malaysia, the Malaysian Youth Council President, Muhammad Izzat Afifi Abdul Hamid, he said that there are issues also related to things like job compatibility, problems regarding the levels of qualifications achieved, and also other recent grads also spoke about things like not being paid what they expected to get paid, being paid more, just being engaged in the gig economy, for instance.
Now, not being paid what they expected to get paid is an interesting one because I think that, I mean, in any conversation about jobs, right, understanding what the market rate, what a starting salary is, what increments could look like within your chosen field, I think those are all things that we are now, as people who have been in the job market for a while, used to thinking about. However, I will say that when I was younger, when I was thinking about what I wanted to study and what it was that I wanted to do after, this question of how much money I could make did not factor in. I mean, of course, I wanted to earn a living, but I never thought about, so what is the starting salary? And if I were an engineer, would that be different? And if I were a banker, would that be different? I didn't make those kinds of calculations, nor did I make the calculations about, okay, so even if the starting salary is as such, how much can I expect to earn after 5 or 10 years in the industry? To be frank, if I had made those considerations, I might not be in the media. But, you know, in general, I don't know. I think when we talk about fresh graduates and the mismatch in salary, it's also important to note that at this point in your life, you may actually be looking for a profession or a passion and not necessarily thinking about how much you can earn. And then it's only when you emerge into the job market that that potential wash of reality comes your way.
And also the fact that that's exactly when you also probably need to start thinking about, how much can my salary do? Will it help me pay rent or my car loan or transport or my food every day? And as many people say repeatedly, the rate of our salary increase has not kept pace with inflation. So there are all of these issues that come about as well, because the choice of whether to accept a job would also rely on whether you think it's worth you putting in that effort and energy into that job, or perhaps you might actually make better wages elsewhere doing something else, but then it might take away things like EPF or, you know, benefits and so on. So I mean, this issue of breaking down why fresh grads face challenges in getting jobs has been a perennial one, and there are multiple factors at play. Today we're mostly interested in examining this issue of competition in the market between fresh grads and retrenched employees and whether that's an issue that needs to be looked at and how we can resolve it. We'd like to hear from you. Would you rather hire a fresh grad or someone who's been retrenched? You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. After this, we'll be speaking with Derek Tho, founder and CEO of Hiredly. So keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Be free-minded. BFM 89.9.
It's 5:13. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Sharmila and Lynn. And today we're talking about the job market and specifically a report in Utusan, Malaysia that suggests that fresh graduates are finding it more difficult to get jobs because of competition from retrenched employees. So we're going to unpack that. We would like to hear from you. Would you rather hire a fresh grad or someone who's been retrenched? That number to call, 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Joining us now is Derek Tho, founder and CEO of Hiredly. Derek, welcome back to the show.
Oh, hi. Thanks for having me.
So this article in Utusan suggests that the reason why recent graduates are struggling to find jobs is because of competition from recently retrenched employees. Now, from your perspective, is that representative of the job market at the moment?
Well, yes. There are a lot of jobs. Many companies are hiring, but definitely there are many people who are also looking. So it's not just those who are retrenched. In 2020, when we had our first lockdown, I think a lot of people lost their jobs there. And there were also a lot of graduates who struggled to find work in 2020, right, because a lot of employers were kind of slowing down. So many of these people sort of spilled into 2021. So you can imagine the people who were graduating in 2021 had to compete with those who graduated in 2020. And it's sort of spilling over to like 2022 a little bit. So for sure, I think there's a lot more competition in the market. It's a bit harder to find that great job that you want. But, at the same time, what I find very interesting, I'm still hearing stories of like candidates or people, right, or employees who will not take a job unless it's like a 100% work from home job. If it's not 100% work from home job, they just don't want the job, right? They'd rather just like stay unemployed. So I find that interesting because it shows that it's kind of not equal, right? So it seems that some people have options and they have more employable than others. So I think it depends on what industry or space you're in.
So let's break it down, right? From an employer's perspective, what are the pros and cons of hiring fresh grads?
Yeah, I think the great thing about hiring fresh graduates and, Hiredly, we ourselves are, I would say that we are a company that's built by fresh grads. I think like over 60% of our current workforce, we actually hired them when they were fresh out of university, right, or like less than 1-2 years experience. So the great thing is that they don't have any bad habits from any previous employment. So you can kind of train them and help them start well, and kind of maybe deliver in ways that maybe you're like certain standards your company has, right? So, but of course, because they don't have these bad habits, it also means they don't have any experience. And it means you have to train them, which is the con, right, the negative side, right? And it's a bit tricky if you're an employer who doesn't have the time or money to do a lot of training. But if you look at other things like, if someone's coming out of university, most of the time they're very energetic, they're full of enthusiasm. I think that's great. I think that's a pro. If you are willing to train, that means if you sort of accept that, you're looking to hire for a role where you don't need this person to have experience because you're willing to train them, then actually what happens is you suddenly get access to a really large pool of talent because, I think like 200,000 graduates coming out, from universities every year in Malaysia. So you have options, right? And it doesn't matter what they study, graduates sometimes can be quite flexible. So I actually think that if you're willing to train and kind of go down this path, you have so many people, good talent to hire from fresh graduate pool.
One of the issues, though, that comes up with fresh grads is often low starting salary, particularly in comparison to what one can earn if they're part of the gig economy. How can this mismatch be addressed?
Yeah, this is a real tough one. I mean, I encounter this question sometimes. If someone's doing deliveries, like they might make like maybe twice the amount as someone who's starting off like a fresh grad junior person in a professional job, right? But I think it depends on your individual circumstances. For me, I think if you can afford taking that lower salary, it's always good to think long-term. Because if you are doing a job, let's say you're doing deliveries, right, and it pays more, but what does it lead to? Like, what is it going to be, say, 2 years from now, 3 years from now, 5 years from now? Is the experience you're accumulating going to kind of be an asset to you as you grow your career? Or is it just going to be the same, right? Doesn't it actually add to your long-term career? So, you know, so compared to, say, if you started up as a junior salesperson, and then eventually, because of the experience you gain as a salesperson, you keep climbing up the ladder, your net income per hour or per day kind of keeps growing as you become more experienced, right? Which may not be easy to do, you know, if you're in the gig economy. So I would tell people to kind of think long-term if they can.
So the president of the Malaysian Youth Council said, you know, other factors behind youth unemployment include things like job compatibility, problems with qualifications. And none of this is new, right? It's a perennial issue. Is there actually enough understanding on the higher education front about the demands of the market so that when people emerge, they might be better suited to what is currently needed?
Yeah, you're right. I mean, I think there's been a lot of conversation here. You know, there's enough conversation for sure. And I believe the higher education market or institutions, they understand, right, that this is a big topic. They understand that there is a gap between, you know, but the graduates, in terms of the skill gap, right, between the graduates and, like, the industry, what the industry is expecting. So if they're well aware, and we've talked about this for years, right, so for me, the question is, how come this hasn't been solved? So I believe that the intention is there. Like, the education space, you know, they are trying to solve it. They are very well aware. But the problem is, you know, it's bureaucratic, you know, and it's very slow to change. You know, every time they say, oh, let's change the syllabus to this and that, it might take a very long time before they get to implement it, right? So the pace of change in education compared to the pace of change in the industry, in the real world, which doesn't help by the fact that a lot of change is accelerated by technology adoption now, the gap is just too big. You know, so I for me, a very practical long-term thing is that I don't see how, like, standard normal education institutions will ever be able to catch up with the pace of change. I think a lot of businesses shouldn't just sit and wait, and you should just start trying to create better onboarding and coaching processes internally, right? And just accept that, you know, when graduates come up, there will be a skill gap. So you just generally want to hire based on, like, right attitudes, right mindset, like say general cognitive ability, right? And I think that's a better strategy for companies.
So let's now look at people who have been retrenched, right? What are some of the specific challenges faced when they're job hunting?
Yeah, I think the biggest problem they face is the lack of negotiation power. You know, I often tell people, right, like the people that win the negotiation are the people who have the power to walk away from the negotiation. So if you start kind of like, you know, don't have a job, you're out there and you really need a job, you don't have a lot of options, you know, there's a lot of pressure to take pay cuts. There's a lot of pressure to just take any job that's on the table, right? And what's worse than the pay cut is that when the next company can sort of sense that, you know, maybe you really need, like, you're sort of desperate for that next job, you know, sometimes it's just like a psychological thing where they don't have confidence to want to hire this person, you know. So I actually think a very good solution is for a lot of people to kind of build that confidence, right? So even though you're retrenched, I'll tell them, like, you know, you go through this job search process as though you are doing this voluntarily, right? You're not doing this because you're retrenched. You still want to go in the mindset that you are also choosing the employer. You are an employable person. It's unfortunate that the company retrenched you, but you are an employable person. You want to pick the right place to work, and you're not begging for that next job. And that kind of confidence will kind of seep through in that interview process, you know, which I hope will help you get, like, a secure, good next job.
So in that same vein of giving a pep talk, right, why might companies opt for more experienced retrenched employees over fresh grads? I mean, what are the potential benefits of going with this person over that?
Well, yeah, I mean, great news is the company doesn't have to train you. You obviously have experience. I think fresh grads sometimes have been unfairly painted with a broad brush, right, to say that many of them are immature, you know, they're not really ready for work. It takes a lot of effort to get them ready for work. I mean, this is a generalization. But companies do have this right at the back of their mind. So if you are an experienced person who's retrenched, I mean, this is an advantage to you, the fact that you've had a professional job, you've kept your job for years, you've done a good, you know, you've done good work, and companies might just select the, you know, experienced talent because they know that you're more mature and you're serious about work, right, and about doing a good job. And also, if companies hiring an experienced retrenched person, it's less risky because there's a track record, right? They can actually see you having a track record of doing work before and to prove that you can actually do the job, whereas a fresh graduate doesn't have a track record. So these things will work to a retrenched person's advantage.
That said, employees who have been retrenched after many years may well have niche and specific skill sets that aren't necessarily easily transferable. What can be done to make themselves more hireable?
Yeah, it's no easy answer for this. I think they might want to consider roles that are adjacent based on the skills that they have. Like, for example, me personally, I used to be an accountant. So when I did a career change to recruitment many, many years ago in a different lifetime, I actually specialized in recruiting accountants, right? Because my previous knowledge as an accountant was still useful, right? It just applied in a different way. So let's say you're an engineer, maybe you can go into technical sales, for example. But if there's no obvious adjacent type of job, there's no easy answer here. Perhaps this is a great opportunity for them to rethink their long-term career, right? Or maybe become an entrepreneur. So not many people actually have this chance. I mean, you're forced to be in this situation, but take it positively, right? Many businesses are actually founded during times of recession. So if you always wanted to sell ice cream or have a burger store, do that. If you always wanted to have a fashion business online, do that, right? So you never know. You might be amazing at it.
Now, in terms of what the government's done, right? They've organized programs like Panjana, for example. They've worked to upskill and reskill to help enhance employability. Have these programs actually been effective?
Well, we are not directly involved in this, so I don't have a lot of information, and also I'm not sure how well they are doing. I believe the intention is the right one, but of course, government, they themselves are not a training organization, so I imagine that they're actually doing it through partners. So it depends on the partner that's providing the upskilling. I personally always think that going for classes and training is great, but actually only a very small step in securing a job. So if you are trying to switch to a new discipline or new job, the employer is going to want to know that you are serious, right? That you're not just going for class, you know, because you think it's going to get you like a high paying job. Like, you're serious about moving in this new direction or new job, and you probably will do well to have like portfolios of work that you've done and to show that you're genuinely keen on it.
So with the economy reopening, which sectors are actively hiring at the moment?
Well, technology hasn't stopped hiring since the pandemic, to be honest. But the good news is other industries are opening up. Like, we've been busy helping retail companies, you know, hospitality companies hire. They were obviously very negatively impacted in 2020, and they're really picking up their hiring now. So it's something I'm very happy to see in Hiredly, because our mission is to help people get hired into the right jobs and the right companies. So the more employers are hiring, the more options we have for our job seekers, right, to find that place where they belong.
And what advice would you have for people who are on the job market right now?
Well, I'd say get your basics right. This is very important. You know, like, for example, you know, write a good CV. There's plenty of content online to teach you how to write a good CV. Prepare and practice good answers to interview questions. You know, a lot of people forget that these are very basic things you need to do. And prepare for common questions. And also those that you anticipate the employer might ask you, right? Make sure you have a good answer ready. So, for example, you know, if you've been, if you've been retrenched, right, and you're applying to a company, and they're going to ask you, like, oh, why are you applying to us? What makes you interested in this job? So even if you were retrenched, you shouldn't say, you know, look, I just want any job that can give me, and they can help me pay the bills, right? It may be true, you know, but the employer still wants to know why you're interested in their job. Not just any job. Why our company, our job? You know, so you really need to prepare like good answers for this, and not just go in and say, look, you know, I'll do anything. I just need a job, right? So really think it through properly.
Derek, thanks for speaking with us today.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
That was Derek, though, founder and CEO of Hiredly, weighing in and really giving us the two sides of the picture when it comes to the job market, fresh grads and retrenched workers, because a report suggests that, you know, there are less jobs to go around because these two groups might be in competition with each other. Do weigh in. Would you rather hire a fresh grad or someone who's been retrenched? You can call 77332900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. We do have this from Gerald.
Gerald says, yes, fresh grads are competing with retrenched workers and with people who would normally be retiring. People are living longer, they have less savings after COVID allowed them to take money out. 70-year-olds will work for less. And I think that these are all extremely good points, because of course that note about the fact that people are living longer and therefore working longer is a salient one. And I think also because maybe an entry level job is no longer just that. You know, instead, it is a job that could be available for anybody who is willing to do whatever the tasks are for whatever that salary is, rather than progressing in that profession.
And I think that point about 70-year-olds being willing to work for less is interesting because, I mean, it's obviously not true for everyone, right? But I do think that the push and pull factors for what drives how much you're willing to accept a salary, the hours you're willing to put in will really differ because the stage you are in life, the commitments you have outside of work will naturally shape what you're able to give to the workplace. And I think it does create an interesting sense. And I can understand how if you're a fresh grad, it might also feel like you're in competition with someone who is from a completely different background situation than you are.
With different needs also.
Exactly. Keep those thoughts coming. We are discussing jobs and specifically whether fresh grads are in competition with those who were recently retrenched. We'd like to hear from you. Would you rather hire a fresh grad or someone who's been retrenched? You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018 789 8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. We'll get to your messages after this, so keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.